Good morning, Heritage. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. This is Mr. Neese, and you are listening to the Griffin Rundown, a weekly podcast for HCA. I hope that you're listening together on the way to school this morning. This week, the interview at the end is with our newest staff member, Pat Presley, who is now the Chief Operating Officer of Heritage. I'm happy to interview Pat today and for you to get to know him a little bit better. And then I'll share about some upcoming events at Heritage. We'll talk about the charter. We'll do a good look at a great book with Dr. Valley, 8th grade and 6th grade teacher at Bainbridge campus. I'll give a construction update and, of course, a joke of the week. So now let's start with the calendar items and upcoming events at Heritage. We look forward to welcoming our grandparents this week. Tomorrow and Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday are grandparents' days. The Academy and Study Center at Peninsula, April 17 and 18, and the Academy at Bainbridge on April 17th. So we're looking forward very much to welcoming grandmas and grandpas to the campuses this week. Records days are coming. These are days off from school. So Friday, May 3rd in Peninsula and Northfield, and Monday, May 6th in Bainbridge. So mark your calendars, please. Those are non-school days. May 3rd, Peninsula and Northfield, May 6th in Bainbridge. And then this is fun. There's just a lot going on at the campuses these days. You've probably heard me talk about that there are trips upcoming at the end of this month. The sixth graders are taking a few day trips. They go to a local camp and do a whole bunch of fun outdoor things. And then they take a trip down to Columbus and visit the State House. The seventh and eighth graders are getting ready to head to Washington, D.C. And the ninth and 10th graders are getting ready to head to Williamsburg. So a lot of fun trips are coming. Also in Peninsula, there's soccer and archery clubs that are happening. An academic team is still going on, though it's getting close to wrapping up. In Bainbridge, there's theater club, chess club, art and choir clubs are in full swing right now as well. The high school kids also have started a track team this spring, so that is ongoing. A lot of exciting things and opportunities for the kids happening at all the campuses. And summer camps. There are many options for various summer camps for your children, so check our website and check the newsletter for an opportunity to sign up and do so quickly. Our hymn for this week is Be Thou My Vision. Again, I would encourage you to make it a routine to listen to it with your children in the car, maybe once per day this week or at the dinner table, and join in and sing heartily. I think it's important that our kids not only see us singing and worshiping, but then it gives them an opportunity to think about the lyrics and to ask questions and understand deep biblical truths that are embedded in the hymns. Pepper Pike update, construction update. Thank you for all those who came out to the workday on Saturday. And there's another one coming on April 27th from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. So please see your newsletter for details. We've had parents and grandparents and staff and friends all helping, and much has been accomplished. So thank you so much for helping us lighten the load. And demolition and renovation is ongoing in 5 or 6 of the buildings right now. In fact, we're beyond the demolition phase in many areas. Walls are going up. Holes are cut for new bathrooms and piping and ductwork. And it's all very exciting. So we continue to get updates in our weekly meetings with the builder and the architect that they are yet on track for handing us the keys this summer so that we can start on time in August at Pepper Pike. So please continue praying that this would be the case and for the Lord's provision and care and all these things. Hey, the charter, everything is on track here also, and we're thankful for that. I've told you that the site visit date is scheduled for yet later this month in April. So this is a big step that we've been waiting for. So again, we ask for your prayer for us as we prepare for visitors from Columbus to come and check out all three of our campuses. And also, we sent out an FAQ in the head of school update that you received on Friday. So please reference that email and the accompanying FAQ related to the charter. And again, I encourage you, if you have questions and concerns about the charter, you can reach out and ask questions. You can also listen to the podcast from November 28th that I did with Troy McIntosh, who's the head of the Ohio Christian Education Network based down in Columbus. And he gave a lot of good and helpful information in that interview. Well, now we are going to do our segment on a good look at a great book. And today I'm happy to welcome back to the Griffin Rundown, Dr. Valley, who teaches sixth grade and eighth grade at the Bainbridge campus. Dr. Valley, welcome to the Griffin Rundown.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mr. Neese. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Valley, good look at a great book. What is the book that you want to give us a deeper dive into?
Yeah. So when you asked me about this, so many went through my mind, and typically it always falls back on the most recent one. So I'm going with that one. We're about to wrap up the Last Days of Socrates. So the Last Days of Socrates is a compilation of four dialogues that occur literally during the great philosopher's last days here on earth. And these dialogues are compiled and written by his greatest student, Plato. So the one that we read and discuss in our humanities class is the Apology. And this takes place in the year 399 BC. So this is Socrates' apology, and he's not saying he's sorry. It comes from the Greek word apologia, which means his defense. So this is Socrates' defense against the court accusations for three primary things that he has supposedly done. So one is impiety. So not recognizing the pagan state gods or the Greek pantheon, and being accused of inventing a new deities. Two, for making the weaker argument the stronger. So they're accusing him of what they do, which is sophism. And then three, for leading the youth astray, for corrupting them, essentially. Mm-hmm. So the 70-year-old Socrates stands in front of a trial of 500 jurors, and he engages with his primary accusers in his typical Socratic fashion. So he engages in dialogue, and he asks probing questions in a relatively deductive fashion in order to ascertain the truth or the justice or the accuracy of the accusations that are coming against him. And then he offers up his defense. And just to throw this in here too, David, something that we have to keep in mind is that his trial comes at this time when Athens had abandoned their previously sought after high ideals that characterized the golden age of Athens. Mm-hmm. And they abandoned these for more inward pursuits, such as ones that today we would call pragmatic. Okay. So whatever means necessary to continue to function. Mm-hmm. If we remember, they just came out of this lengthy civil war with Sparta. So, well, eventually he's found guilty. He's sentenced to death. And of course, the famous drinking of the hemlock poison. And that occurs in the last of the four dialogues that I referred to earlier, and that's called the Phaedo. So that's the gist of the book. We could go on for weeks about it.
As you probably have been in class. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
and you're too nice to correct me. At the beginning, I said sixth and eighth, but this is a text from seventh grade. So you have sixth and seventh and eighth. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Thank you for being so kind. hey, how did the discussions go with the kids? Is there anything noteworthy observations they made or just really good dialogue you had in class as you discussed these things with the seventh graders?
Yeah. You know, I'll say this. What's really fun about teaching, this is the second year I've taught this book, and I'm doing more of the reading in class. So we're almost stopping every two sentences to have discussion. So, but very rich discussion. So I would, a couple things, come to mind. So the great line, the unexamined life is not worth living, comes from this text. Mm. And this is something that in lesser words, I've discussed with my students all year. So, the quote from The Abolition of Man actually comes to mind. It's when Lewis discusses how the men of old were concerned with conforming their souls to reality, so to what is true. And in Athens, during this time, so what I was kind of talking about earlier, and just as much as today, nothing new under the sun. So men, in the words of Lewis, are attempting to subdue reality to their own desires. So complete contrast to the men of old, right? So I frequently talk to my students about upholding that which is true, which is good, that which is beautiful, and then to examine ourselves, to check ourselves, to see how we're doing in aligning ourselves with these transcendentals. And we think of the verse in Romans 12 that says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we talk a lot about examining ourselves. You know, are we growing in virtue and conforming to truth, goodness, and beauty? And then one other thing, David, that happened this year that did not happen last year that I thought was a blast. So I'm reading along and we get into this great discussion in the text, Socrates was dialoguing with his primary accuser. His name is Meletus. And he's asking Meletus, who is the best, who's best able to make the young people good? And Meletus responds with the laws. The laws are what make people good. So Socrates asks him, oh, really? The laws have the ability to educate the young, Meletus. And then he said these words, and this is what kind of took us in a different direction. He says, to make them better, to make the students better, the laws can do this. And Meletus says, yes, okay. So we actually got into this huge discussion about what really is education and how is it intended to make us better. And we talked about what we're doing here at HCA, what we're endeavoring to do. So we discussed, we started by looking at the Latin word, educere, which is where we get our word education. And that means to lead out from ignorance to knowledge, from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, all of these things. And ultimately to better, I love this word. Andrew Kern kind of built this into me, to gaze on that which is true, good, and beautiful. And it's through this gazing, this soul perception that we become conformed to these universals. So Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, and my students recite this every single day. We think on, meditate on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and so forth. So our education here at HCA, we agreed, strives to make our students better by exalting these things worth loving. And the old adage that I frequently bring up in here is, from the Middle Ages, is we become what we behold.
That's right.
So I frequently ask my students, what are you gazing at? What are you looking at? What are the eyes of your soul gazing on? You will be shaped against that. So by thinking on and gazing on the things of Philippians 4:8, and then truly beginning to adore these things, we become more human, more excellent, more virtuous in our humanity. And this is what Socrates intended in his dialogues. In the Apology, he uses the concept of the perfection of the soul. I love that. And that is what the people of Athens ought to be concerned with, says Socrates, not the things of the world. So, yeah, I could go on that one. But, it's very safe to say here that we can find some wonderful truths from the works of Plato and from the dialogues in the mind of Socrates. So.
That's really good. And, you listed a few references from Paul. I had another one going through my head where I think it's in 2 Corinthians, but I very well could be wrong. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another.
That's right. So yep.
What we behold, we become, and we're transformed by it. And what we set our affections on, we're transformed by those things. Our hearts are knit together and we become more like them. And just to affirm what you're saying. And then I was also thinking, many of our listeners may not know, but you referenced Lewis's The Abolition of Man. I mean, this is essentially his treatise and effectively his critique of education modern day for him, in probably the 30s or the 40s, right? So,
right.
And where he was arguing exactly what you're saying of, we want to make the world conform to us. And in reality, good education is conforming us to the greater realities.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. And I think Dr. Valley and I would both recommend that. It is a challenge to work.
It is, yeah.
True, but it's worth it. I think for thoughtful moms and dads, it's worth it.
Right. Right. I would wholeheartedly agree with you there.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Valley, you do a great job with the kids, not just teaching. Certainly you're a wonderful teacher, but the heart is everything. And the Lord has gifted you immensely in working with youth and driving to the heart of the matter. So very thankful for your work with the children.
Oh, it's a huge honor. So thank you. Thank you for that, Mr. Neese. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. All right, brother. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Mm-hmm. See ya.
Well, now it's time for your favorite segment and mine. It's the joke of the week. And you get a twofer this week. We're welcoming Mr. Presley into the studio, and COO of Heritage, Pat Presley, claims he has a funny joke. I haven't heard it yet, so the jury's out. But Mr. Presley, are you ready to make us laugh?
I'm ready.
Let's hear it.
Well, the question is, who was the wisest investor in the Old Testament?
The wisest investor in the Old Testament. I don't know. What do you got?
It was the Queen of Egypt. She went down to the bank of the Nile and took out a little profit.
The bank of the Nile and took out. And where did you learn?
My grandson, Barrett Steinhoff, is the guy who gave me that joke.
Barrett got a good one. Yep. And obviously it made Grandpa laugh.
It did indeed.
That's really good. Hey, Barrett, great job. You probably would be funnier telling it than your grandpa, but this is still pretty good. All right, Mr. Presley, thanks so much. And joining me in the studio is one Mr. Barrett. Barrett, how are you doing today, buddy?
Good.
Barrett, what grade are you in?
Second grade.
You're in second grade. You're getting pretty tall. Second grade in the Bainbridge campus. And Barrett, I understand you have a joke for me about a pencil. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready to share it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dull pencil.
Dull pencil who?
Never mind, there's no point.
Never mind, there's no point. Good one. Hey, where'd you learn that?
I learned that from my sisters.
From your sister. Did you tell that one to Grandpa too?
I don't think so.
No? Okay, now, we just heard your grandpa tell a funny joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said he learned it from you. And I think I told your grandpa, I bet Barrett's funnier telling the joke. So are you ready to tell us that one too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it.
Who was the wisest investor in the Old Testament?
Who was the wisest investor in the Old Testament? Who was it?
The Queen of Egypt.
The Queen of Egypt. Why?
Because she went down to the bank of the Nile and snuck out a little profit.
And took out a little profit. That's really funny. All right. Well, there's that. Now the rest of Heritage community can decide who told it better, Mr. Presley or grandson Barrett. Barrett, great job, buddy. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hey, do you want to share one other thing with us? What's your favorite subject that you study in second grade?
I have three.
You have three?
It's science, history, and art.
Science, history, and art. You're a man of many talents. I like
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I like this. That's my favorite.
Those are good favorites. All right. Hey, buddy, thanks for coming in today.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Well, you heard me say at the top that today's interview is with Pat Presley. Pat is the new Chief Operating Officer of Heritage. And Pat and I have known each other for many years, I think since before marriage for me. And Pat is a good friend. Pat has served on the Heritage Board faithfully for roughly 7 years or so, and very thankful for his work. He knows Heritage well, and I think was just the right man that the Lord had prepared to step in as Chief Operating Officer in this season where we desperately needed that role and where we needed Pat. So happy for him to be on the Griffin Rundown today, and very, very much thankful for the work that he's doing at Heritage. So without further ado, let's welcome Pat Presley to the Griffin Rundown. All right. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Pat Presley to the Griffin Rundown. Pat, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here today.
Yeah. So, Pat, let's do a major softball to start us. Would you just tell us a little bit about your family?
Sure. I'm married to Kristen, my wife. We've been married for 44 years this summer. We have 4 married children and 10 grandchildren. 3 of those children live in the area with their spouses, and we have 3 grandchildren in the school. And then my oldest daughter and her husband live out in Rhode Island.
Out in Rhode Island. Okay. And tell us, you've been familiar with Heritage for a long time, right?
Yes. I got acquainted with Heritage in the early days. You interviewed my daughter for a teaching position. It was probably the first time I heard about Heritage. And you were very persuasive, because in about 30 minutes, she was turning from public education to classical. And I think she was the first teacher hired here full time. I've also got,
I believe that's the case,
introduced through Parkside, because I'm on the elder board at Parkside. And one of the great opportunities was to have HCA come to Bainbridge and come to Parkside Church. And so I was involved in that conversation and helping to make that happen.
That's right. Super good. And then, okay, well, you just mentioned your church affiliation, Parkside. You're an elder there. You've been an elder for a long time. Would you share with us how you came to know the Lord Jesus?
Sure. My dad was a music pastor, music minister back in the day. So I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays as a young person at the age of 10. My dad and our pastor at the church was over and led me to the Lord when I prayed the sinner's prayer in my home. And very thankful to have been raised in a Christian home and to be taught early about Christ, who Christ was and what he did for me, and then to follow Christ, and then to still be doing that today. It's God's kindness.
Amen. It's a good testimony. You know, we hear often enough that, you know, you'll ask that and people will answer, well, I don't have a good testimony. You know, I grew up in the church, and boy, what a great testimony to say, you know, I can't look back on a time of not knowing the Lord Jesus. Doesn't mean I wasn't a sinner who needed his grace, but it's a great story to tell that, no, my folks loved the Lord and had me in the church.
Amen. I'm very blessed on both sides of my family. My grandparents were following Christ. I met my wife in college. She was following Christ better than I was following Christ. And so aspirationally, I knew that I needed to get serious and really re-up my efforts. He'd done all the work, but just my commitment level was that I wanted to follow him wholeheartedly.
Amen. That's good. Okay. So when you're not working, we're beating around the bush here that you're with Heritage now, but when you're not working, Pat, how can we find you spending your time?
Well, I've got a couple things going on. I have 10 grandchildren, so we're constantly traveling and going and seeing grandchildren things. Sports-wise, I've left golf primarily, and I've found a new passion in pickleball, so I try to play pickleball regularly.
It's cheaper, too.
It's a little less expensive and a little less time, and outdoors where some fresh air is. My wife plays, so I get a chance to be with my wife, and unfortunately, most of my grandchildren can beat me in pickleball, but it's still a great joy.
Pickleball and the farm.
And the farm. We bought some property a few years ago during COVID, built a house out in Burton. And so we have 30 acres with some cows and chickens and a tractor that keep us very entertained.
Yeah, you're living the dream over there with the hobby farm. 30 acres is bordering on not a hobby, though.
It is. You know, I don't want to be a commercial farmer, but I wanted to be able to grow something that we could eat and not just feed. So we've got a couple of beef cows, and we've got 14 chickens. We just slaughtered a couple of pigs this spring. So we're living Green Acres out there.
I know where to go for a good dinner. Yeah. So talk to us about your role at Heritage. We've all but said it. You're here. You're in the seat now.
Well, I served on the board for 7 years, and that's been a great joy. That opportunity with Parkside, coming into Parkside for the school, was a great joy to serve on both the Parkside Elder Board and the HCA Board. In February or late January, I got asked to be the Chief Operating Officer. I've had an extensive business background, a consulting career in technology, as well as a lot of business transformation and change. So learned a lot of lessons. And so when the board asked me to become the Chief Operating Officer, it was an easy decision, prayerful but easy decision, that I could use some of the gifting and skills the Lord's given me in my business career to serve HCA, and I am having a great time.
Yeah, and Heritage and I are the great beneficiaries of your efficiency. And, you know, it's a very good thing when you can bring in a chief operating officer who hasn't been working for the organization previously, but you've been in the back room for 7 years and in all the board meetings. And so it's been a wonderful blessing to the school in a short period of time.
Well, it certainly has for me as well. I've learned a lot about classical and about the school over the last 7 years on the board. But then to get into operational, there's always things you get to learn and discover a little more detail about. And so that's been a great joy to try to be a help to all areas of HCA.
That's right. And you have been in so many ways. And so just help us a little bit. As COO, you don't have a ton of interaction with the teachers and the parents as principals would and things like that. So, you know, what areas do you get to oversee?
Well, we've kind of quartered off everything that's non-educational. I'm still involved in some of those things, as you know, but technology, finance, fundraising. I'm doing the work on the capital campaign, which is a great joy. The building project up in Pepper Pike, I'm responsible for a lot of that work to make sure that that gets completed so that we can open our school there in the fall. Anything that's broken on the other campuses, you know, water meters or heating units, anything and everything that's non-educational kind of falls under that.
All domain. Those vendors.
Yes. A lot of vendor management.
Yeah. Yes. All the vendors too. Yeah. Well, and truly this was, you know, this was really just a test of your intelligence because you were already doing so much with the capital campaign and the new building anyway, that you may as well get paid for it.
Well, it's kind of the board to do that. It is a great joy. I love the school. I have passion about the school and just what impact it will have for eternity in our world, in our country, in our state with these children, that they would grow to be godly men and women that have great character and are serving Christ in whatever vocation the Lord would take them, whether that's being an at-home mom or a working mom, an at-home dad, a teacher, a principal, a business person, just to see what they'll become. I feel like I'm supporting them a little bit kind of behind the scenes, but trying to prepare them for the future.
Amen. Well, you might have just answered my last question. We'll see if you may take it a different role. I think you just answered it in the meta, but what are your goals for this new role?
Well, in the short term, I'm just trying to get my arms around all these different groups and departments, meeting a lot of people that are in the back and not out front in finance or in IT. Moving to the new site at Pepper Pike, there's a lot of new contracts that need to be let and a lot of new vendors that we need to meet. So we're gathering quotes and trying to finalize those deals. For me personally, it's just to really get a good handle on all the pieces, parts that make the school work. Mm-hmm. The educational part is really the front-facing, the client-facing, the parent-facing. But all the other things behind that, I want to see work very well. Our team is a great team. You know, we may need to augment some more because we're growing, but we've got a great team. And so I want to help them do a better job at whatever they're doing and just enable efficiency there.
Amen. Well, and you're doing great work with it. And I certainly feel, you know, a burden lifted from me in my role. And I think there's an all boats rising that's going on across the organization.
Well, if I can help carry some of the load that you're carrying, because you were carrying a lot of load before I got here. Not that you're not carrying a lot of load now, but it really is
noticeably
a joy
to
take some of that work on and really work shoulder to shoulder in many of these things.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And what a joy.
It is a joy.
Yeah. Well, Pat, so thankful that you're in the seat at Heritage and thankful not just for, you know, as we were just saying, the hard gifts that the Lord has given you, the hard skill sets, but the heart that's behind it. And I say this to some people occasionally, wherever Pat goes, the party comes with him. And so the camaraderie, the joy, the brotherhood is
Amen.
A great thing.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Thank you for you. Thank you for listening to the Griffin Rundown. As always, it is a pleasure to partner with you to cultivate our children to be lifelong learners who think and live for Christ. We'll see you next Tuesday.